Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
National Empowerment Radio presents Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy. Real issues, your community on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone, and welcome to my show this evening. I got to tell you, I got to cut straight to the chase. We really have a great topic tonight, and I don't want to waste a lot of time. I'd like to delve straight into the topic. When I sent my message out this evening, or I should say this afternoon, I received email messages. Immediately about the response or the topic, and people are really excited about tonight's show. So, real quickly, those of you that are new, I have a couple new people here. This is an internet radio show, and many people always text and call me and ask me if they can access the show from their phone. Absolutely, absolutely. Simply go to blogtalkradio.com/ Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy. Click on the link, follow the prompts, and it'll drop you straight into the show. Tonight, I'll tell you, I have a special guest, a good friend of mine. I have to say, I actually started doing radio with the coach, wow, several years ago. I was a guest on his show, and his show actually gave me the bug to continue doing radio. So, Coach, are you on the line?
Yes, we are. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm awesome. Just really excited about the show and the opportunity to share my message. And as mentioned, it's great to have some positive energy going around, especially in the black community and especially around black men. So I really appreciate the opportunity to share my work, my message with your audience.
And I have to say thank you. You sent me the message. You know, you get my messages. And when you sent this, I said, man, I got to have the coach on the show ASAP. And the thing that was ironic, I was just having a similar conversation about this topic, I think 3 months ago, with a group of people at Happy Hour. And then your message popped up. And I said, wow, this would be a great, great, great topic. Now, I got some people texting me. They want to know the dial-in number. Those of you that have a question or comment, feel free to dial in at any time for questions for the coach. The number is 347-326-9755. Again, that's 347-326-9755. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about Black Men Rock. Man, Coach, great topic. Great title for the book. What inspired the title?
Well, interestingly enough, I was trying to come up with a title that I thought would really grab some media attention, and I was thinking of some ideas, and the first thing that popped in my head was I was going to title it Black Men Are Not an Endangered Species. And in my thinking, it was something that I thought the media would grab onto simply because it's, I don't want to call it controversial, but I thought it would be a little bit more marketable. But interestingly enough, my wife called me one day, and she said, honey, what's the name of your new book? And I told her, Black Men Are Not an Endangered Species. And she goes, that's too long. You need to change that. And I kind of thought about it for a second, and I realized that if she didn't connect with that title, then I really needed to rethink it. And so I really started thinking about what she said, about how long it was, and I thought, you know, what I don't want to do is promote it from a negative perspective. And saying black men are not an endangered species is somewhat focusing on the negative. And so I wanted to flip it and turn it into something positive. And I said, you know what? Black men rock. And it just kind of popped in my head, black men rock. And I thought, now that's a powerful title. And it just kind of stuck, and it's now become a movement. So the whole intention is to create a new mindset, create a new attitude specifically for black men that lets them know that black men do rock and to not buy into all the negative media stereotypes that we see. And so this whole conversation is about empowerment, and that's why I felt that Black Men Rock would be a great title that would support black men in creating a new mindset for themselves.
Okay, now I obtained, I have information for the book, and I'll tell you, I have people that have also inquired about where to purchase the book as well, and we can talk about that towards the end of the show. However, it's your story. It's how things open up. So let's just take a step back here, and I want to, you know, we know about the negative media, and I know you have a radio show, and you work with men in general, and your radio show encourages and motivates men, and you've been doing that for several years. So what motivated us, outside of the negativity, just from your personal experience, because taking a look at the beginning of the book, you mentioned your grandfather, and I believe he essentially just had an eighth grade education, and you noted in there that he definitely was the wisest man you've ever obtained information from or talked to. So just from a personal perspective, what inspired you to just take a step back and say, hey, I need to write a book?
Yeah, well, actually, that's a great place to start, because back in, say, 1989, I had lived the so-called American dream. I had the house, the wife, the 2.5 kid, and all of that. And by society standards, I was successful. And then within a six-year time frame, I went from living the dream to living the nightmare. And I went through a divorce, a bankruptcy, a foreclosure, basically lost everything. And so there I was, bankrupt and alone, trying to figure out what in the world had happened, because I had played by society's rules and followed what I thought it meant to be a man, and yet my life was in total chaos. And so as a result of that tragedy, if you will, I had an epiphany. Actually, it was more of a miracle. I was sitting up late one night because I couldn't sleep because I was so depressed, and I was looking across the room, and I had this bookshelf, and I noticed on the bookshelf that all of the books had something to do with making money. And as I was looking at the books, this question just popped in my head, and it was this. It said, Michael, what if you took all the energy and effort you've used in trying to get rich and simply learn how to be happy? And that one question literally changed my life in an instant. In that moment, something in me shifted, and I realized that that's what I had done all my life. I was chasing money and trying to have the cars, the stuff, and all the external things. And as a result of asking myself that one simple question, I stopped reading books on getting rich. I stopped reading books on making money. And I started reading psychology and philosophy and spirituality and metaphysics. And so I went on this amazing journey of transformation, I call it. And so this journey took me approximately 15 years. Where during this process, another question just kept popping in my head. And that question was, what does it mean to be a man? And as a result of asking that question, I started looking for resources that would actually answer that question. And I couldn't find any books out there that would really answer it for me. And so because of all the work I had done psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually, I decided that, you know, all the things that I've learned, I want to share, because I know there's got to be other men out there who have experienced some of the same things that I went through. So I want to try to support them in that. And so back in 1995, I actually wrote my first book, which was titled Brothers, Are You Listening? A Success Guide for the New Millennium. And that's actually how I started my writing career. I wrote that book to empower black men to redefine success, because I knew that there were a lot of men out there who, like myself, you know, we had the house, we had the jobs, we had all that, but yet we were absolutely miserable. And so I wanted to share that information with other people, and that's when I wrote my first book. And then fast forward about 6 years later, I wrote another book called A New Conversation with Men, which is based on my radio show.
Yeah,
as part of my radio show. I also now have a television show of the same name that I promote positive male images, and I empower men through that television program. And so I've really been focusing my attention on men in general, because I believe the greatest challenge we have in our society is to redefine masculinity, which we'll get into a little bit later in the conversation. But then what I recognized was most of the people that listen to my radio show, that have read my book, A New Conversation with Men, aren't black men. And I said, you know what? I need to specifically write another book targeted specifically to empower black men. And that's how Black Men Rock came about.
Hmm. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are here talking to the coach, Coach Michael Taylor, and his book titled Black Men Rock, 10 Keys to Empower Black Men to Live Extraordinary Lives. Now, I have a couple people in the queue here, and I'd just like to let you know, if you have a question or a comment for the coach, the thing I'll simply do is give you the last four digits of your phone number, and then you'll be live on the air. At that point in time, that's when you can let us know what you have to say. So right now, the last four digits of this particular phone number is 2561. Again, 2561, you are live on the air. Do you have a question for the coach? You are live on the air. You got a question for the coach? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
I can. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well.
Well, yes, I do have a question for Coach Michael Taylor. He was speaking about how he has empowered men in different ways, and I want to ask the question, how does he feel about empowering women to empower men? What advice would he give a woman to empower the man she's with if he is looking to empower himself but don't know how to do it? How would you do that?
Well, number one, if you look at our society, there are hundreds and hundreds of women out there empowering women. Oprah just kind of pops in my head. And there's lots of information out there for women about empowerment. But at the same time, if you ask for empowerment for men, where are they? Where are the men that are really empowering men to become better men? So although I don't exclude women from my work, I primarily focus on men because I think that's where the greatest need is. And so in answer to the question about empowering women, the 10 keys that I present in this book actually are genderless. They are targeted specifically to men, speaking from a male perspective, because once again, there aren't many works out there targeted to men. But ultimately, the principles and ideas that I preach or I teach are good for men and women.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for calling
in. Okay. Awesome. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate your support. Now, one thing, Coach, that she mentioned also that I'd like for you to expound a little bit more on is what do you need to do, or what, as a woman, what I need to do to motivate my man who doesn't know how to motivate himself?
So here,
I mean, that's a little tough, though, because, you know, this comes up a lot of the times whenever I go to happy hour events, I always throw different ideas out there just to, A, develop my programming for the show, or just, you know, to hear what people have to say about various issues. And this comes up all the time. Women basically don't know how to motivate their black man. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that? What do we need to do as women to help our black men?
Well, culturally, we have to understand that women have been conditioned since the beginning of time to take care of men. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but what I believe has to happen is women must first and foremost do their own work to make sure that they've dealt with whatever issues they have within themselves before they try to fix their man. You cannot fix somebody else. You can empower them. So if you have empowered yourself, if you've taken the time to really understand who you are, if you've taken the time to really address the emotional, psychological challenges that you may have within your own heart and soul, then you can empower that person just by the person that you become. And so too many times in our media, for example, you have all these books that tell women that they need to try to understand their man. Well, I don't think that's the right approach. You have to understand yourself first, and then you can support and empower other people, because too many times women have sacrificed who they are for their men. They've given up who they are to try to please their man. What I'm saying here is it's now time for us as men to start doing the same emotional work that a lot of women have been doing for years. And so what's been missing is a resource that starts to motivate us, because we can't depend on women to motivate us. We have to be willing to motivate ourselves. And that's why this conversation is so important, because we haven't had a resource that's specifically designed to empower us. Everything around us, if you look at society as a whole, disempowers us. And unfortunately, sometimes even in our relationships, as well-meaning as the women may be, if they're constantly pushing us to do or to get motivated, and that's not who and what we are, then we build resentment and we disconnect from the person we're in relationship with. So the first thing that we have to be willing to do, male or female, and this is the first chapter of the book, which is titled Know Thyself.
Know Thyself. Am I right? Know Thyself.
Know Thyself. Know Thyself. So for women, they must learn to know thyself. For men, we must learn to know thyself. And once we know ourselves, we know who we really are, then we can go about empowering and supporting the people we're in relationship with.
So this is what I'm hearing. So and this is interesting from a female perspective, because women, and I agree with you, being that we can't fix people or change a man. And that I see that and hear those kind of comments all the time. And in many cases, we as women try to put our black men, put this circle into a square peg. And that I see that happen so often just based on the comments, because we have this this ideal situation and this ideal person that we want, and then we end up with someone that's not what we want, but then we try to change them into something that they're not. So,
right.
And this is going off of a text message that I got from someone. So I'm saying all that to say, this particular person, I don't know if it's male, female, what city they text this message from. However, they noted that they wanted to know, is it even worth going down that road? And this person said that they do know thyself. They're still texting me right now. they do know thyself, but essentially she needs assistance. It's a female. Just bear with me here. I'm reading. She needs assistance with just understanding what's the difference between the empowerment aspect of it, how to empower, and what exactly does that mean? She said, I'm not crazy, but she really needs to understand what does it mean to empower opposed to trying to tell him what to do.
Okay, so here's when I talk about empowerment. Empowerment can only come from someone who's empowered. And here's what I mean by that. From a female perspective, a lot of times what happens is women, as mentioned, have been conditioned to always take care of others. And so what happens is a woman loses her ability to set boundaries for herself. So let's say you get into a relationship, and intuitively a woman may know that there's something off about this particular person she's in a relationship with. But as you mentioned, what does she try to do? She tries to fix him. She tries to fix it. Rather than being empowered in recognizing that that's not good for me. I don't need to be with this person. Before it gets too deep, she's empowered to let go of something that she intuitively knows isn't good for her. And so that's why when I say know thyself, it always begins there, because when you really know yourself, you're able to set those boundaries at the beginning. You're able to recognize at the beginning whether or not this person that you're in relationship with or just beginning, whether or not it's right. Because all of us have had the experience of going out with someone longer than we know we should have been with them. We've all done it. You know, we've all done it. Well, knowing thyself is what allows us to be able to set a boundary saying, you know, this isn't working for me, and to be able to stop it before it gets worse. But too many times, again, if we're not empowered, then we're trying to take care of the other person and putting their needs ahead of our own. And so what women need to do, I think, first and foremost, is simply recognize that you don't have to compromise who you are in relationships. If you are compromising who you are, you're disempowered. The only way to be empowered is to really and authentically know thyself. And this is a process. See, unfortunately, we live in this culture that everybody wants a quick fix, and people think that, you know, if I spend $10 on this, I'm going to get, you know, a lifetime of happiness, or I'm going to lose 20 pounds in 2 days. And I can, you know, we've got this instant gratification society that says everything is quick. And I don't believe it works that way. It's really a process of really understanding who we are. And that's why I laid out these 10 keys, because, again, they're just keys, but then you also have to be willing to find the doors to put the keys in. And so you've got to do some work. You've got to do some effort. It takes effort to do this work. And so listening to shows like this, engaging in workshops and seminars that help us gain a deeper understanding of ourselves, that's how we get empowered. And that's the only way we'll ever create relationships that are rewarding and fulfilling, because we have to first create a relationship with ourselves first.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are here talking to the coach, Coach Taylor, about Black Men Rock. Now, I still have a couple of people here that I need to have some questions, Coach, so just bear with me.
Okay.
However, I do want people to know that, or I should say I'd like to ask if you could just simply let me know your first name and what city you are calling in from. So here, the next four digits is 7522. You are and will be live on the air with the coach. You are now live on the air. Do you have a question or a comment? Hello? Okay, I'll take that as they're listening, because there's sometimes people call me and they are listening and they don't have a comment, and that's fine as well. So I have a couple more people that I'd like to get to. However, I want to continue with these different these steps here, these keys that you have, and I'd like to jump around and just go to the next one here, and it talks about developing a positive attitude. So can you just expound on that a little bit, because I have two questions here that are in line with this next key.
Okay, so when you talk about attitude, here's Coach Michael Taylor's definition of attitude. Your attitude is the compilation an expression of your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. Let me say that again. Your attitude is the compilation and expression of your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. So if we have negative thoughts, feelings, and beliefs, guess what? We have a negative attitude. If we have positive thoughts, feelings, and beliefs, then we have a positive attitude. Thoughts, feelings, and beliefs can be changed. You can transform how you think, what you believe, and how you see the world. Most of us, we buy into a negative media. Therefore, guess what? It affects our attitude. So developing a positive mental attitude is a process, because we are inundated with so much negativity, it's no wonder that so many people have such a pessimistic outlook about the world and what's going on. Because turn on the news, what do you see? What does CNN stand for? Constant negative news. All this negativity is constantly bombarding us. So what we have to be willing to do is reprogram and change the negative thoughts, feelings, and beliefs we have into something positive. And one way to do that is to disconnect from the negative media. Make sure that we're inputting positive, powerful information that will shift our attitudes for the better.
Constant negative news. That's a good one. I got to use that one. I'm definitely going to leverage that one for me, Coach. I like that, because I'll tell you, I have people that I know, individuals that don't even watch the news just because of what you are saying. So that's definitely an interesting perspective. Now, I got a couple questions here, and it's about an area in your book that talks about relationships and making them priority. And you talk about President Obama running for president and the attitude and the confidence that he exudes. And I also believe that you mentioned Bill Cosby and the Cosby Show. So can you you talk about relationships, you know, why is that considered a priority from a black man's perspective, from a black man's perspective? Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, because if you look at relationships in general, especially when you look at the media and you look at black men in relationships, the overwhelming majority of things you see in regards to black men are pretty negative. I mean, and I don't even get me started with the rap music and the videos and all of that. What I found so amazing about President Obama was the fact that here was a black man, and of course people will argue he's half black, but anyway, here's my point. Here's a black man that was willing to be nurturing, to be sensitive, to be caring, to be, you know, to be loving in a way that people act as if that was some anomaly for black men, as if we don't know how to do that.
That's true.
The fact is there are a lot of black men that are just as loving, just as caring, just as sensitive and committed to their families as President Obama. But the reason that I was so proud of that was because now he put on an international stage the fact that as black men, this is who we really are. Now, obviously, there's some of us who aren't acting consistent with that, but the point was he makes his family priority.
Uh-huh.
He showed to the world the fact that black men can be great fathers. Black men can be great husbands. And so in this chapter, when I'm talking about making relationships priority, the point that I was making was, why is it that as black folk, We acted so surprised to see him act that way, as though we were surprised that black men act that way. My point here is that we, as black men, we must make a commitment to creating those types of relationships. We must make relationships top priority. And this is something that won't happen if we as men aren't willing to, go back to chapter one, know thyself. Because the way for us to create great relationships is to create great relationships with ourselves. And that means, from a male perspective especially, we have to redefine masculinity and what that means. Because in the current masculine culture, we are taught that, for example, how many times have you heard a man that say something to the effect of, he refers to his wife as the old ball and chain? Or some people, when they look at marriage from a male perspective, they think, oh, that's a death sentence, that's a prison sentence. We have this negative mentality about marriage, when in reality, marriage should be and can be the most rewarding, most fulfilling experience that we have in our lives. But unfortunately, too many times as men, we aren't willing to make the emotional commitment to not just marriage, but two monogamous, loving, caring, connected relationships. And so what I'm doing is I'm challenging men to redefine their belief systems about what relationships should be. And relationships should be connected emotionally, spiritually, psychological unions, or what I call spiritual partnerships that are fun, fit without a bunch of drama, that are just really rewarding and fulfilling.
Now, there's a section in the book that you talked about and expounded a lot more on President Obama, and you even note here that because of what he has displayed, that black men can be good fathers and a good husband. You noted here there was even a minor backlash from some black men who said that now black women would set their standards too high and expect all black men to be like Barack.
Right. And actually, there's a brother wrote a book. I can't remember the title at the moment, but he was actually talking about that he felt that the expectations were now going to be too high. But see, I disagree with that, because what I saw and what I'm advocating here is simply that black men recognize that we can be loving husbands. We can be caring fathers. We don't have to be the president of the United States. We're not perfect, but what we should strive for is creating intimacy and connection in our relationships, because we are capable of that. Like I said, we're no different than any other race of men, but we've got all this psychological baggage that we're carrying around. For example, it's like, we have been taught that you're a wimp, you're a punk, you're a sissy if you say you love your wife, if you show affection to your wife. That's part of the masculine culture, not just black masculine culture, but just masculine culture in general. But specifically for black men, we have this idea that somehow being in love, caring for someone, being committed to someone makes us weak, makes us less than men. Well, I'm promoting a new idea. And the new idea is that relationships should be top priority in our lives.
Wow. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are talking to the coach about Black Men Rock, and he has keys, 10 keys that they're awesome from a black male perspective, and this is really, really some good information. And I have some text messages here that I want to reference that I've received from people. However, I do have a point that I had read in your book also that correlates with a couple of the messages, and here in the book, you noted that as men, a lot of us have not had direct access to men who are as open and loving as The Rock. Now that we have this positive attitude, your hope is that more men are begin seeking out ways to become better husbands and fathers. So I wanted to reference that excerpt because I have a couple questions here regarding how can men who have not had access to that kind of environment, did not grew up in a broken home, how can they make that shift so that they don't continue to progress through life with that negative stigma, as you mentioned, about just because you want to love someone that you're a punk or that you're weak, you know, how can you assist them with making that societal shift?
Well, again, The term I use is transformation. Now, there's a distinction to be made between transformation and motivation. How many times have you gone to a seminar, you listen to a motivational speaker, you're fired up for an hour or two, a couple of days later, you revert back to the old way of being. You're no longer motivated because the motivation is gone, okay? Transformation, on the other hand, is when a person really commits to it, they transform their beliefs. They transform their thinking, they're transforming their whole belief system is something that can be a permanent process. But it takes effort. And unfortunately, most people aren't really courageous enough to engage in this process. But when a man gets courageous enough to say, I want to change, I want to be transformed, then he must make the commitment to seek out the mentors and the resources that can support him in that. One of the things that I talk about in the book is that I think the three most difficult words for any man to say is, I need help. Men have been taught that we're supposed to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and so most of us will not even allow ourselves to say those three simple words, I need help. Well, the first thing we have to be willing to do if we want to be transformed is to admit to ourselves that we need help. To this point, there aren't many resources for a man to say that he feels comfortable enough expressing that emotion, if you will. The whole idea of Black Men Rock and this whole conversation is making it okay for black men to say, I need help. And so a great place to start is by reading books. A great place to start is by listening to audio programs. It's going to help us change our mindsets, help us change how we see ourselves and how we see the world. And then, of course, there's workshops and seminars that really are where true transformation takes place. We don't have a lot of resources targeted specifically to us for this. I'm putting some final touches on a program which is called Black Men Rock Empowerment Groups. And what this empowerment group is, it's a very structured program in which, let's say, for example, you had a group of men, say five men, that you've got to say, you know what, man, I'm ready to change my life, but I don't know what to do. Well, with this empowerment group, it's a step-by-step process that supports men in creating a structure that can help them transform their lives. And it's a series of DVDs, it's some MP3s, there's some meditation tapes involved. I mean, there's workbooks involved. So it's a curriculum, if you will, that will support men in transforming themselves, not just motivating, but transforming who they are. The key is the courage to participate. And so this whole conversation on what I'm calling my revolution, this revolution that I'm starting, the design or the purpose is to let men know that it's okay to say I need help, and now I'm providing some resources for the men who are ready for that help.
Okay, so here you said one word a couple times, and I see I have a couple of questions here that also have the same word in it. Now, you mentioned the word commit.
Mm-hmm.
And here I have one particular, let me see here, I believe her name is Rhonda, noted that you keep saying the word commit, but just she says here, just based off of her experience, she continuously deals with black men that she said 45 plus that run from commitment. So her question is essentially how does your book help men understand that it's okay to commit and there's nothing wrong with that?
Well, the reason some men are afraid of commitment is simply because, again, they've been conditioned to believe that making that commitment somehow makes them weak, makes them less of a man. And so that fear of commitment is a result of trying to live up to some antiquated ideas of what it means to be a man. And so what this dialogue is doing is letting men understand and recognize that the most important, and this is from Michael Taylor's perspective, the most important aspect of our lives are our relationships, okay? The single most empowering relationship we should have is the relationship with a significant other. When we commit to following the keys, when we commit to doing the things in this book, what it does is it simply opens our mind and hearts to the possibility that relationships are wonderful, exciting, fulfilling experiences. But most of us have not had that experience. For example, before I remarried, you know, I had this pattern that, especially after my divorce, it was extremely difficult for me to get close to women, and I couldn't figure out why. Well, I had this person that I want to thank her every time I think about this for telling me this, because I was having a pity party with her about why my relationships were ending the way that they were. And this pattern was, after my divorce, relationships would last about 2 to 3 weeks, and the women were all saying the same thing, which was, I care too much about you to stay in this relationship. Now, that made absolutely no sense to me at the time. I couldn't figure out, what do you mean you care about me, but yet you're leaving? Well, anyway, I was telling this person, this woman that I was having a pity party with, about, you know, you women all say you want a good man, and you say that, and here I am, I'm a good man, but yet women are leaving me. And she said this to me. She said, Michael, if one person calls you a jackass, you probably shouldn't worry about it. But if two or more do, you probably ought to get a saddle. Have you not noticed that you're the only common denominator in all the relationships? And when she said that, a light bulb went off, and I realized that it wasn't the women in my life, it was me. And so I had to be willing to do my work to figure out what it was about Michael Taylor that was driving women away from me. What it turns out, as a result of all the emotional and psychological work that I did, what turned out was I had this fear that the people you love will leave you. Psychological terms, it's called an abandonment issue. I had an abandonment issue as a result of an experience I had as a young child with my mom. So there's a psychological connection to all the stuff we go through when we're kids. A lot of times we don't talk about. Well, what happened was after I realized that I was the problem and not the women, what I found out was, and I went back and talked to a couple of these women afterwards, and the problem was the reason they were leaving me was because, and they all said the same thing, I was not emotionally available. Now, as a man, that can be hard to digest because a lot of us as men, we don't have the emotional vocabulary to understand what that really means. But the reason that I, back then, couldn't commit to relationships because I had that fear of abandonment. And it wasn't until I went back and healed and dealt with that issue that I could now commit to someone because I no longer had the fear that they would leave. And so this whole process, this whole psychological, emotional process, it's very challenging. And we have to be willing to commit to doing some deep work. But that's the only way we can get to commitment. Because if we still have a bunch of unresolved emotional baggage, it's difficult, if not impossible, for us to commit. And I think for us as men, we haven't been willing to address the emotional baggage, and that's why we're afraid to commit. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. So much so. Wow, I received 3 text messages in that time where people are just making comments on that. So I do want to jump ahead here. Phone number. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a comment or a question, the number this evening, is 347-326-9755. Again, it's 347-326-9755. I had a couple people that sent me a message asking for the number. They have a question for the coach. So I want to move on here. Time is going by so quickly. I'd like to talk about the financial aspect and why do you think that was an important area to discuss with the whole Black Men Rock concept? Because you have a key, if I'm not mistaken, and it states manage your finances. So, you know, educate us on that and how we all know why it's important, but more so, what does that area of the book do that can properly educate the Black man on truly understanding the importance of managing finance? Because that's an area that's a challenge, I think, just for many of us, just historically and how we're raised and things like that. So, you know, what advice and what does your book, what kind of information does it provide?
Well, first of all, you have to look at the bigger context. When I say 10 keys to living an extraordinary life. Now, when I say extraordinary, I have to define extraordinary on my own terms. Every individual has to define what extraordinary means. But what I can say is that if you truly want to live this, what I'm calling extraordinary life, it's important that we have what I call financial abundance. And financial abundance doesn't necessarily mean that you have to make millions of dollars. It means that you're responsible with the money that you make. And so too many times, especially as men, we get so trapped into this whole illusion of what it means to be a man that we spend money on things that we really don't need. We're trying to represent, we're trying to flash, and, you know, we're spending money on cars that we can't afford. You know, we're living beyond our means. We're living paycheck to paycheck. And I believe that finances is actually a result of our beliefs about money. And if we have what's been labeled scarcity beliefs, meaning that we believe that there's not enough money, then we'll always have scarcity in our lives. And being financially abundant is really a mindset. It's really changing your mind and your perception about money. And so some of the basic ground rules of money I talk about in the book, for example, having good credit. I mean, we've all had challenges with credit, I'm sure. And so what we have to be willing to do is that it isn't the problem with the credit. It's what is the behavior that's causing us to create the credit problems in the first place. If we can get to the cause, then we can clean up the effect. Well, the cause is sometimes, again, we're trying to live beyond our means because we're trying to impress other people. And so what I try to challenge people to do is simply think about their belief systems around money and finances and then just take responsibility for their financial situation.
Wow. Take responsibility for your situation. And that's, I'm reading here, I have a lady here that's texting that comment, and she noted here that that's the piece that the men that she dealt with, the piece that they miss, is taking responsibility and not blame others for our financial the men that she dealt with. They blame others for the poor planning and their poor financial situation. And bear with me, I'm reading her message. It's a little long. She wants to know, how do you, and she used your word transition, how do you assist black men with making that transition? Because she has gone out and dealt with several men that make a lot of money, have good salaries, and they still, life is just still a financial strain. So what kind of guidance does your book provide from a transitional standpoint?
Well, again, it still comes back to chapter one. You see, the reason that we overextend ourselves, if we really get honest, if we're willing to go deep, and most people aren't willing to go deep, but I'm going to challenge your audience to really go deep here. If we will really look deeply enough, the reason that we overextend ourselves to a large degree has something to do with a sense of inadequacy about ourselves. Here's an example. As a man, I see a woman that I want to go out with. She's attractive. I want to go ask her for a date. Typically, what do we do as men? We want to get the nice clothes. We want to get the nice car. We want to take her to the most expensive restaurant. And we do all these things. Why? Because we're trying to impress her. Now, why are we trying to impress her? Unconsciously, what we're saying is, she might not like me, but she'll like my stuff.
Huh.
So we try to buy love. So what we're really saying is, I'm not good enough just as I am as a human being. So these things, this material stuff, is what I'll use to let you, or to trap you, in a sense, to liking me because of my stuff. And women do the same thing, but I'm speaking from a male perspective, because we've been taught that's how we're supposed to attract women. But here's the thing. If a man is complete and whole within himself, he doesn't have to try to impress women with stuff. He doesn't have to take her to a fancy restaurant, because if he really knows who he is and he has some values that he holds to and he won't compromise those values, then he knows that if a woman expects him to go to some really high-dollar place or she doesn't want to go out with him, well, that's not the woman he should be with. So here's the ultimate test as a man. Are you comfortable enough in your own skin that you could ask a woman out and take her to Pizza Hut on your first date? Most men would say no.
No.
And so, here's the thing. From a female perspective, what's the thing that goes through your mind right now when I said that?
He has no money.
Uh-huh. And so what happens is, all of a sudden, everything is based on external. And so women buy into it, men buy into it. So we buy into this idea that represents who we are, and we make judgments based on what the person can do financially. So here's my point. If you really know who you are and you're comfortable with that, and you can say, look, this is who I am, love me or leave me, then you're in a place where you can create a relationship that you really can connect with another human being. If your relationship is built on stuff, then that's not the foundation for creating intimacy and connection. We live in a society and culture that says he who has the gold makes the rules. And at the same time, for all you ladies out there who are thinking that I'm telling you to compromise, this has nothing to do with compromising yourself. This is about knowing who you are and being willing to look past all the external things that society has conditioned us to believe makes us lovable. And so if we want to really create true connection in a relationship, we have to get real and raw and vulnerable and naked, saying, look, this is who I am. When I met my wife, and the reason that I use the Pizza Hut example is because that's the first place I took my wife on our first date. I took her to Pizza Hut, not because I was trying to be cheap, but here's my thinking. if, number one, I love pizza. I ain't gonna lie, I love pizza. But the point was, I knew nothing about this person. It's our very first date. Why should I try to impress her by taking her to some fancy restaurant, spending all this money on somebody I might not even like? Okay, now this is just how Michael Taylor thinks. And so we went to Pizza Hut, and we had an awesome time. And I got to know her a little bit, and I thought, hey, great, let's go on a second date. But I did not base my relationship on the stuff that I have. My wife accepted me with my little old raggedy Honda. She didn't care about that. She just wanted a man that was going to be there for her, be real, be authentic, and not try to pretend that I was something that I'm not. And so that's how I showed up, and that's why I've been happily married for the last 12 years or so. Because I laid it all out on the table at the beginning. I said, honey, look, I said, babe, look, here's the thing. If you're looking for a guy that's going to wine and dine you and take you all these fancy places and try to impress you, I said, I'm not the guy for you. And I told her this on the first date. I said, I'm not the guy for you. I said, but if you're really looking for someone that you can build a relationship with and grow with, I said, that's me. If that's what you're looking for, I'm the guy. Guess what? That's what she was looking for. Guess what? Happily married for the last 12 years. Because our relationship wasn't built on stuff. I didn't try to impress her. I didn't try to pretend that I was somebody that I'm not. I put it out there. This is Michael Taylor. Love me or leave me.
Love me or leave me. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are talking to Coach Taylor. And I do have one more question out here that one more caller that I'd like to give an opportunity to ask a question or make a comment. The last four digits of this particular phone number is 3203. Again, it's 3203. And if you can just simply let us know your first name and what city you're calling in from. So, again, 3203, you are live on the air with Coach Taylor. Do you have a comment or a question?
What's up? My name is Maurice. I'm from Georgia.
Okay.
To what he was saying about first dates, to me, I think if a man is taking a woman out on a first date to some big fancy restaurant, she probably should run and run fast. You know what I'm saying? Because a real man that's actually looking for something, I feel like he's going to be looking for something in that woman. And so, and real men today, we're not just fond of just blowing our money on random women that we haven't vetted yet. You know what I'm saying? So for me, a cheaper first date is probably going to be my thing. And then after I see you're worth it, then we can start moving up in price tag.
Yeah, and that's my point. See, if you're beginning a relationship with someone, you know absolutely nothing about them. If that person is going to judge you about you taking them to a cheap place, now from my perspective and my values, I wouldn't want to be in a relationship with that person in the first place. And as you mentioned, that doesn't mean that I'm not willing to spend money on a woman. That means after I get to know her, after I make a commitment, and when I say commitment, I'm not saying to marry her or commitment to Melania. I'm saying a commitment to go on the next date. Once I know that I want to spend more time with her, then we start building on top of that. But the very beginning, I believe, should always be about getting to know who that person is, not impressing them with your stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Like, to me, I think if a man takes a woman out on, like, a very expensive first date, I mean, to me, I feel like he's trying to buy her. You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly the words I use. And unfortunately, as men, we've all done it. Trust me, I've done it. I'm not saying I have not done it, but as a result of the work that I've done, as a result of the emotional and psychological transformation that I've gone through, I got to the point where I know who I am. I know who Michael Taylor is. And I realized that when I decided that I wanted to remarry, I knew exactly what I was looking for in that particular person. And the values that I was looking for had nothing to do with, you know, me trying to impress her with how much money I had or the stuff that I had. I wanted to find someone that had the same qualities and values that I had, and I knew that we could build a relationship on top of that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that also does when a man takes a woman out on that first date and it ends up being expensive is that essentially sets the tone.
Sets the tone for
that, it's for continuous, this is a lifestyle that I'll be leading if I continue to go out with you. So the expectation is set that, okay, this first date is this high-end expensive dinner or whatever you choose to do. So, A, not only is it a situation where the man is buying her, but it gives the woman also a false sense of, okay, this is how he rolls. This is what
right.
he does on a regular basis. When essentially, from what I've experienced, that's not the case. It's not the case. It just turns into the man trying to impress and essentially being something that he's not. So, good point. Good point, my friend. I appreciate you calling in this evening and just sharing with us your comments and thoughts about black men and the first date and what that message essentially says from a black man's perspective and from a woman's perspective as well. So you have any other comments?
No.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, tonight this is good dialogue. It's excellent dialogue. I'd like to thank that last caller from calling in from Georgia. We appreciate the comments and the question and the statements that you made. Well, Coach, it's wow. Time went quickly. I definitely have to have you back because I want to talk about your other book, The Conversation.
A New
with
Conversation
Men.
With Men. Uh huh.
Yes, I definitely want to have that one. Have a show on that one as well. Because there are several messages here, text messages and emails that I received that I haven't even been able to address. And you know, it may not even be a bad idea to do part two to this Black Men Rock segment as well. I think that would be a good idea also to give people an opportunity to circle around and ask and call in that didn't get a chance to do it this evening. So, in closing, what are your thoughts? I'd like you to give us your thoughts and then let people know where they can purchase your book because I've received probably 10 messages just asking that question alone.
Well, first of all, I just want to say, especially for black men, is to not buy into the negative media stereotypes. There are a lot of people out there that are still promoting this idea that somehow black men are an endangered species. And my commitment is to blow that conversation up. It is my belief, and this is Michael Taylor's belief, that we are positioned to experience unprecedented levels of success in society today. But what we have to be willing to do is make the commitment to our own personal growth and transformation. And that means redefining masculinity, looking at life a little differently. And so what I've done is put together a resource for any man who is courageous enough to go against the status quo in terms of what it means to be a man. Because this is a new conversation, in a sense, that men need to be having. Because if you look at it from a masculine perspective, if you look at all the violence in our society, if you look at the majority of suicides, these are all driven by men who have not been able to deal with and cope with what I'm calling an antiquated paradigm of masculinity. So the time has come for us to have a new conversation. I'm calling this conversation Black Men Rock because I want to challenge black men to be empowered because we're no different than any other group of men, but what we need a support system. Black Men Rock is a new support system of empowerment. So if you're really intrigued by this idea and you resonate with it, you can find out all about me at blackmenrock.net. That's blackmenrock.net. And there you'll find a resource of audio programs, articles. You can access the book there. lots of information there that I can assure you that if you're committed to your transformation, you'll find a resource to support you in doing so.
Okay, Coach. Well, like I said, I definitely want to do part two to Black Men Rock, and then I want to circle around and have you back on again to discuss a new conversation with men. So I'll definitely be in touch. You know, it's always a pleasure working with you, and I do want to thank you for making yourself available this evening. And I'll tell you, you got a lot of callers in this evening, at least five people I didn't get an opportunity to chime in for a question, but I did address as many text messages and emails as I could. So that's why when I get that many people calling in, I know we really need to do a part two to this. So, again, I want to thank you for making yourself available, and I will definitely be in touch so we can do part two as well as talk about your other book as well, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Wendy.
All right, you take care.
All right, have a good evening.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Black Men Rock. Wow, that was really some good dialogue that we had with Coach this evening. Got a lot of questions and comments that we did not get an opportunity to address. I do apologize, ladies and gentlemen. However, I do encourage you to go out on his website and purchase his book. Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of people wanted to know where they could go to obtain the book, and I'll tell you, it's an easy-read reference book for Black men, period, dot, dot, dot. That's exactly what it is. It's not some long, drawn-out book that you would lose interest in. It's straight to the point, and it provides a good resource for, I think, Black men and women to read as well. So with that said, before we close out for the evening, ladies and gentlemen, I would like for you to go to my radio show page and make some comments. Let me know what you thought about the show this evening. Also, feel free, if you have any ideas, email me some programming ideas. Over the last several months, I've received some awesome ideas, and I plan on having various people as guests on my show in the upcoming weeks. And I've also looked into various topics that people have sent me as well. So please, please, please continue to send me that information. I love it, love it, love it, because I would not be able to do this without YOU. So with that said, please visit my website, and next week I have another interesting topic that we're going to talk about, another author that's going to engage us with his thoughts on a various relationship topic as well. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, as always, please keep your eyes on the prize and tune in next week. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy. Tune in next week for another thought-provoking topic.